We often hear about companies leaving Vermont or selling to an out-of-state owner. But for the next few minutes, we're going to hear from the head of a company that's doing the opposite, Cabot Hosiery Mills. That's the company that makes the Darn Tough brand of durable, pricey wool socks. Darn Tough has been around for about 15 years. They're made in Northfield, and now the company is expanding to Waterbury. It's just started a lease of a large manufacturing and office facility there, which up until last year was home to another brand that closely associated itself with Vermont, Keurig Dr. Pepper, once known as Green Mountain Coffee Roasters. That company has been scaling down its operations in Vermont, but Darn Tough is building up. The new Waterbury space is in addition to its Northfield operation, and the company plans to soon add to its over 300 employee workforce. And as of this month, it's offering a starting wage of $15 an hour. Shortly before their lease started, I met the company's CEO, Rick Cabot, at Darn Tough's new Waterbury space, a beige box of a building just behind downtown. The cavernous space is mostly empty, but there are still a few remnants of the coffee roasting operations, some machinery, even a small pile of coffee grounds.
Every time I come back here, it's a little less full, a little more empty. So I think they sort of clean it out in phases.
What was it that was attractive about this space in particular?
It's available. It's big. We can fit it up as we need it. It's a little closer to Chittenden County, which has the highest population in the state. It's right off the interstate. It's just convenient. It's just the timing was just perfect.
What is this going to look like in, say, a year from now?
Well, there'll be knitting machines up on the mezzanine. And then I believe we're going to do our fulfillment for direct-to-consumer, I think, on this floor. And then we'll also have some storage and racking for product. And they'll be humming with people.
Yeah, how many people?
I want to say maybe 100 new hires by the end of, or I would say into 2021.
As we're talking, Cabot checks to see what kind of socks I'm wearing, so I turn the question back to him. Do you wear the Darn Tough socks every day?
Of course I do. And I tend to wear the socks for months on end, just to make sure that they're as durable as we say they are, and they're naturally antimicrobial, so they don't smell. So I've been wearing these socks for, I would say, 3 months straight every day.
Really?
Yep.
Are you washing them every day?
No, I don't wash them at all. And they don't smell.
Really?
Do you want to smell them? Do you?
Sure. Cabot slips off his shoe, and I bend down and smell his sock.
Do they smell?
I mean, there's an odor, but it's...
right. They don't stink.
Yeah, okay, all right. For the record, there's definitely an odor, but they still look like they're in good shape. And with that, we head upstairs to an empty conference room where I ask about the roots of the company. I want to back up a little bit and talk about the company overall. Your father started it, right?
Yeah, my father started Cabot Hosiery in 1978, and I got involved in 1989. From 78 to when I got there in 89, it was a private label, which is making socks for other brands. Then in 89, we started getting into more of a direct-to-retail model, but still private label. So we made socks for The Gap and Banana Republic and Abercrombie & Fitch and Kohl's and JCPenney. And then when all that stuff went offshore, it pretty much wiped us out. So in 2003, 2004, we were insolvent. We were down to 35 people. We were running one shift, and that's when Darn Tough was born.
And so at that point,
yep,
you decide to create your own brand,
yes,
of socks. What went into that decision in terms of deciding to pivot in that way?
There was no choice. If we were going to continue, we needed some sort of big idea, and we needed it quickly. And that's how Darn Tough was born. It was strictly out of need.
And so how quickly then did it go from 35 people on the floor making this new brand to what it's become today? How quickly did it catch on?
It was one day at a time. So if it was 35 people, then maybe at some point it was 40 and 60. It's been a long, solid road. We did not buy into markets. We earned it. We don't have any outside investors. My father and I own the company. We got second and third mortgages on our homes, and we just continue to reinvest.
You've been able to grow here in Vermont,
yeah.
and there's sort of a reputation, especially among the business community in this state, that this is a difficult place to do business or an expensive place to do business. Have you found that to be true?
No. I think that's defeatist thinking. I think Vermont's a great place to do business. You know, it's as easy or hard as you make it. And if it's hard, then you got to work harder. I mean, we just want to stay here. And we've figured out so far a way to stay here. So, you know, people that moan, and those people have generally sold out. And they've sold their company to a larger company. They just come up with excuses. But, you know, Vermont, you know, that's bullshit.
So costs, regulations, the things that you hear folks, you know, complaining about from time to time, that's not a burden on you.
It's bullshit.
All right. In terms of you raised the what's happened to several brands that have really tied themselves to the Vermont brand. I'm thinking of the company who used to occupy this building, Green Mountain Coffee, mm-hmm. Sold to a public company. Ben & Jerry's sold to a larger company. Have you ever been approached by a larger company to
every
buy?
Day. Really? Yeah, every day people want to buy into what we're doing. And, you know, we're not for sale. We answer to two people, our employees and our customers. So no, we have no plans to sell. We like it here. And we have three generations of other families working in our mill. So if we pulled up and pulled out, you know, what would happen to them?
Is there anything that you think at the state level, state government could be doing to make it possible for more businesses to grow or succeed here?
Well, I mean, I think what the state should focus on is, you know, why do we have a population decline? Why are schools consolidating? Obviously, when, you know, there's fewer numbers, you know, taxes have to go up. But, you know, the state offers $10,000 or something for people to sort of relocate here. But I think the real issue is, you know, why do people leave in the first place? And hopefully some come back. But Vermont is a great place to raise a family. Thank goodness we don't have fires and we don't really have a lot of flooding. It's rural. There's plenty of room. It's conservative. It's liberal. It's heaven as far as I'm concerned. So I just think the state should focus on retention.
But I mean, as part of that, you know, having options for people, right? Good jobs that pay well. And it seems like something that you're offering at Darn Tough. I mean, do you think there's ways the state could be encouraging more companies to be following that model?
It's too easy to say that, you know, it falls on the state. If Vermont were a tough or bad place to do business, we wouldn't be successful here. You know, we just want it more than anybody else, or as much as the people that figure out how to stay here. So, you know, there's 600,000 people in the whole state. You know, the state can only do so much. You need entrepreneurs. You need people willing to risk everything, to take risks. You know, handouts and things like that. You know, that's just not who we are. So keep people from leaving, and then more people will come.
All right. Well, I really appreciate your time, Ricardo.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.